Welcome to this week's Roscommon GA Memories, and today we're concentrating on Roscommon versus Kildare in the 1983 league, and it ties in well because last week on Lake Regale they were paying tribute to Dermot Hairley Jr. So that was a nice tie-in, wasn't it?
It was indeed, Aidan. You know, Dermot Hairley Jr., what a great player he was as well, and his dad was on the Roscommon's, you know, team in 1983, but he wasn't playing this particular day in Newbridge when Roscommon beat Kildare by 9-10 points in front of 2,500 people. It was the 13th of February 1983 in St. Conleth's Park in Newbridge, and the referee was Tommy Morden from Leitrim, would you believe? And it was a great performance by Roscommon without the late great Dermot Hairley Sr. And it's put a halt to Kildare's gallop, because Kildare had won their first four league games and they were on top of the table at that stage, and had some great players like Shea Fahey, Larry Tompkins, David Dalton, Johnny Crofton. So Roscommon still had a great side, had a lot of 1980 team left, and on that day, Tony McManus, John O'Connor were outstanding, as was Pádraig McNeill and Aidan Dooley. So it was a great win for Roscommon against Kildare, who would have gone into that game as the favourites.
You know, it's one of those games. There's, you know, the 2003... qualifier campaign was another great game. So this is a pairing, be it in league or championship, that always produced great games. And I suppose that was a generational thing. No matter what teams or no matter what players came or went, it was always a great game, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Roscommon had that great victory over Kildare in 2003 down at Portlaoise, you know, on the Frankie Dolan show, scoring 13 points. And then, of course, in 2007, Kildare turned the tables on Roscommon, beating us in Hyde Park in a qualifier game. It was time John Mahon was the manager, and it was a disappointing Roscommon performance. You know, Kildare weren't that brilliant in 2007, but still they had enough to get over Roscommon. And Roscommon were in that era, you know, 2007, 2008, 2009, where they were average. The team was in rebuilding mode, if you like, and the performances weren't that great compared to latter years, if you like, and like it's one of those troughs Roscommon go through from time to time. But in 1983, John O'Connor was from Strokestown, and this was John's last full season for Roscommon. Played in the championship later on, which Roscommon lost to Mayo 9-7 down in Castlebar. But Jigger O'Connor had a brilliant game this day in Newbridge, and the highlight of the day was a goal that he scored in the second half, where he ran 30 yards and he buried a ball into the back of the net to put Roscommon well in the ascendancy. But he was a tremendous talent, John O'Connor, from Strokestown, went to live in America, played on the Roscommon minor team in 1972 in the Connacht minor final, and scored that goal in the first minute of the 1980 final in Croke Park against Kerry. But it was really John Jigger O'Connor and Tony McManus who spearheaded Roscommon's raid on Newbridge. And Kildare, as I said, had a 100% record before Christmas. And that was the time when the league was split into two sort of seasons. You know, they had the pre-Christmas four games, and then you had the post-Christmas three games. So Kildare won their four games before Christmas, and they beat Galway, for example, who were the then Connacht champions. So they had a good team. And but Tony McManus got a thigh injury in the second half, but that didn't, you know, it didn't dampen his performance at all. He was outstanding together with John O'Connor. And then Kildare, as I said, they had Larry Tompkins, Shea Fahey, Jack Winders, John Crofton, and Sean Ryan. And Ryan, Winders, and Crofton all tried to mark Tony McManus, but to little avail. Tony was outstanding. And then John O'Connor, he showed that he hadn't lost his sharp shooting qualities, which made him a forward to be feared across the inter-county spectrum. And he scored 1-3 in a game largely controlled by Roscommon. And that was an encouragement to Roscommon's new manager, who was Jimmy Mannion at the time. So Jimmy Mannion said after the game, "We did all our talking out on the field. There was nothing more he could add." Roscommon, Aidan, had three pre-match injuries. Mike Keegan, Jerry Fitzmaurice and Pádraig McNeill, they all came in for Paul Early, who had the flu. Ian McManus Sr. had a shoulder injury, and Michael Finneran also came in for his first game in the league. So like, that was Mick Keegan was from Clannagale. He was a great stalwart over the years. Jerry Fitzmaurice, great player. Pádraig McNeill was from Roscommon Gaels, and he was a young man that time, and he had a great game in this match. As I said, Eamon McManus Sr. had a shoulder injury. Mick Finneran gave an accomplished performance on the game. And of course, midfield was dominated by Roscommon. Seamus Hayden and Martin Dolphin excelled at midfield. And Dave Kavanagh did okay for Kildare. And Shea Fahey came out from full forward to try and relieve the pressure on the Kildare midfield in the second half. And he did manfully when he came out to redress the balance, Aidan, you know.
That's it. And of course, what was Roscommon's form going into that game as well? You know, you were saying how well Kildare had done in the first half of the season. What was Roscommon's form like going into that?
Roscommon had lost one game, Aidan. You know, they'd gone joint top of the league after this game, you know, so they'd lost one match. Or at least drawn one, they had dropped points, but they had a good record because they went ahead of Kildare when they won this game. They went ahead of Kildare then, so they showed that they had good form. And I think Roscommon had a couple of games to play after that against Meath maybe or Tyrone, but like there were some good teams that league, you know, like Meath, Tyrone, Kildare, Roscommon, Galway. So like there was top teams there, and Roscommon went top of the league after winning this match. And as well as Tony McManus and John O'Connor, Pat Lindsay was brilliant at the back for Roscommon. He was a cornerstone of a very determined rear guard. Danny Murray did much to mute the skills of Larry Tompkins. Jerry Kinnellan was often the springboard which launched Roscommon's attacks from deep in their own defence. So Roscommon led 1-6 to 4 points at half time. And then Larry Tompkins went to centre half forward in the second half. He was left half forward, and Kildare started to come back into the game. So within 9 minutes of the second half, Kildare had turned a 5-point deficit into a 1-point deficit. They got 4 points in a row, and then they missed a goal chance. A guy called Phelan Farrell, he had a chance, and the ball didn't go into the back of the net. It was saved, and Tom Travers, Phelan Farrell, what he did was he took Pat Lindsay went for the ball, and sort of they managed to punch it over his hands, and the chance came for a goal for Phelan Farrell, but he missed it. Of course, Gay Sheeran was in goals that day. He kept a clean sheet, so he had a good performance as well. Then in the 47th minute, Aidan Dooley got a goal after a long through ball from John O'Connor, and then John O'Connor got another point to bring Roscommon, you know, really back on top. So Roscommon had that clear daylight between the two teams again. So Jigger's goal, as I said, it was in the first half, not the second half. Aidan Dooley's goal was the second half. So Jimmy Kinnellan, he was from Kilmore, he played that day. He set up John O'Connor for his goal. And Jimmy Kinnellan was part of the Kilmore team that won the county final that year in 1983, they won the senior championship. So Danny Murray followed Tompkins to centre-half back, and when Tompkins went to centre-half forward. But it was a great performance. Kildare were on top for the third quarter only. That's when they were strong. Roscommon soaked up a lot of high-ball tactics. Pádraig McNeill did very well. Aidan Dooley's goal, as I said, 47 minutes. That was 13 minutes to go. That put Roscommon way ahead again. And Tony McManus, Michael Finner and John O'Connor, you know, they tore the Kildare defence apart in the first half. And John O'Connor's run and goal from 30 yards was a highlight of the game. So as I said earlier, Roscommon's domination in midfield with Seamus Hayden and Martin Dolphin was key as well. So Roscommon jointly led Division 2 with Meath after that game, and then Kildare were in third place. I know Roscommon lost to Meath that season as well, Aidan, because that was the 1983. They lost up in Navan to Meath. So it was a very tough campaign, you know, the whole campaign of 1983. But Roscommon still had, you know, the backbone of the 1980 team. And it's just a shame and a pity that John O'Connor and Michael Finneran didn't play for Roscommon after that season, Aidan. You know, that was their last season, both of them. And you can imagine, like, they were still pretty young men, you know. You can imagine, like, Tony Mack played till 1992. You can imagine if we had Jigger and Michael Finneran playing into the late 80s or early 90s, you know. There would have been, the three of them would have been unbelievable, you know, to see them playing for Roscommon still in the late 80s or early 90s. Like, I think Mick Finneran was maybe younger than Tony McManus, you know. So there were two big losses to Roscommon football, Aidan, John O'Connor and Michael Finneran. You know, Michael immigrated to London, John immigrated to San Francisco. But it was something that happened in the 80s. A lot of players, you know, immigrated, and that's a shame. You know, Ireland at the time had a lot of unemployment, and you know, we lost Roscommon being a rural county, we lost two of the, you could say, the all-time greats.
That's it. And it was sad because, as you say, like, imagine what Roscommon could have achieved if they had stayed in Roscommon. But sometimes, like, you know, life does that to you. And, like, much in all, as you'd love to stay and play for Roscommon, you know, if you can't get work in Ireland, then that's, you know, you have to do these things. And I suppose, you know, one of them going to America and the other going to England, that's what had to happen because, yeah. You know, sport is brilliant, but I suppose that was important at the time due to the times that were. But did they go on to play football in America? And
I know John O'Connor did play in New York and played in San Francisco. Like, he was a great player. I think he won tournaments over there, won championships over there. Michael Finnern, I don't know if he played in London. He may have. I don't know. But I know John O'Connor did. And in 1988, John O'Connor came back to play for Strokestown in the county senior final. Self and Tom Corcoran came back from America. And they played pretty okay, but Clan were too strong for them, you know, in 1988. But Mick Finnern's club career, Aidan, you have to say that the highlight was Western Gaels winning the junior championship back in 1977. Michael was playing that time, he was only 18, but he was Michael Finnern, Aidan, like, would you hear from people and talking about him that he was an outstanding footballer? Like, he was you hear the word genius being thrown around, you know, but Michael Finnern was borderline genius of a footballer. That's what everybody says. And it's just a shame that we lost that talent in Roscommon, like, through immigration. And what a talent he was. He scored the goal of the year in the 1979 championship against Dublin. He came on as sub. You know, he won an All-Ireland Under-21 medal in 78 against Kerry. We covered that as well. And he had a good game in Salt Hill in 78 in the kind of final, the time Mickey Frayne got the two goals, and we covered that a few weeks ago. So Michael Finnern, Aidan, you know, still talked about as one of the greats. You know, he only played for maybe 7 or 8 seasons, but he packed maybe 20 seasons into that. You know, he was that good, and he was just a player of the highest quality. And all the reports talk about Jigger O'Connor, Tony McManus, Mick Finnern, three of the greats. Like they would have been on the great Kerry team, Aidan. You know, they were that good. You know, these guys were that skillful. And really and truly, I'd say arguably Roscommon never had a trio like those ever in a team. You know, we've had great players, you know, Frankie Dolan, you know, we've had great players in the 40s and 50s and 60s. But I'd say you go a long way to find a better three forwards in Roscommon together than Tony Mack, Mick Finnern and John O'Connor. And I would, people that saw them playing at their peak, we saw Tony Mack playing, you know, in the 80s and 90s, and he was terrific. Even when Tony was well in his 30s, he was still the best player on the team. He was just a great reader of the game. He could get out in front of his man. He had this great dummy as well. You never saw Tony getting his shot blocked down. If he got in on goal, he always beat the goalkeeper. He had that way of shimmying and sidestepping the keeper and rolling it into the back of the net. And he was an all-round inspirational force for Roscommon, Tony McManus. And played for, you know, even when he was 35 in the Connacht final in 92, Roscommon well beaten. But I remember him scoring a point that day with his left foot. It was just incredible down, you know, it was an incredible score. So Tony Mack, Mick Finnern and Jigger, Aidan, three of the greats, three of the probably the best forwards Roscommon ever had, all came together. And all the reports talked about Tony Mack, Mick Finnern and John O'Connor tearing Kildare apart in the first half, tearing them apart. You know, it tells you something when the papers are talking about guys tearing them apart, you know. So Kildare were the favourites, Aidan, but you know, you have to, looking back and those lads, you know, what great players they were, Aidan. And then you look at the backs as well, like Harry Keegan, Pat Lindsay, Jerry Kennellan, tremendous footballers.
Oh, like that we'll say yourself and myself, we had the honour of being able to watch Tony McManus kind of in the latter years. Well, me, like, it was kind of when I was into football, it was kind of 1988, 89, 90, 91. 92, you know, and you know, he was always very good in the league. And the thing that stood out for me about Tony McManus as well is, you know, some players have a good left foot or a good right foot, but he could pop them all over from either foot, which is it's nearly a must now these days, really, at inter-county level, isn't it? Because of the intensity of the game, and I suppose, how high of a level the game has got to. But even back then, now it was a great thing, and I suppose to a certain extent, maybe a rare thing. Not too many players could kick with both feet, but it is a huge advantage.
Absolutely, and like Tony was in the genius category too. You know, like three of them. What can we say? Well, just when you see these reports about that game against Kildare in 1983, like Kildare were the favourites. That, as I said, they'd won their four games that season. A win against Roscommon would have put them in the league. But like Tony Mack, Mick Finnern and John O'Connor really were the driving force behind Roscommon win. And in fact, Dermot Early didn't play that day, which just gives you an indication how good Roscommon were without to win convincingly without the great Dermot Early. The better side won. And it's hard to win on Kildare soil, Aidan. You know, St. Conlon's Park's very tight pitch. You know, Mayo found that a few years ago. You know, the Newbridge or Nowhere game, Mayo under Stephen Rochford back in 2018, they lost that game, and they probably wouldn't have lost it in Croke Park, you know, because home advantage, like tight pitch, like Newbridge, Pete Crowden on top of them, it's worth 3 or 4 points, you know. And Kildare, you know, once you go to these places, it's difficult to get a win. And Kildare were a good league team back in the 80s. They weren't that good in the Championship, but certainly were good in the league, Division 2 as well. So Roscommon halted that run for them. The Roscommon were a different class in the day, complete football combination. While Kildare struggled for most of the hour. Kildare's half back line had a tough day. You know, that Tony McManus, John O'Connor and Aidan Dooley to deal with. And inside, the full back line had to deal with, Mick Finnerton, you know, and as well as that, Roscommon and Jimmy Kinnell and Pádraig McNeill in the full forward line, who did brilliantly. Pádraig McNeill, by all accounts, had a great game, you know, and he came in just before the game. But they couldn't curb the influence of Tony McManus. Tony was devastating. His clever, one thing we didn't mention, Aidan, as well, is his clever distribution, which brought about many scores, not alone for himself, but his distribution brought about other scores for players around him. You know, that the one thing I remember about Tony as well, Tony McManus was a very unselfish player. He would take his own score, there's no question about it, but he was a team player. You know, he would lay the ball off, he would give it to a man in a better position. That was the beauty of Tony Mack as well. Not alone was he a great man he had the nous and the know-how to win the ball, and also he had to know how, whether to go for his own score or to lay it off to another man. And he was a great team player. What can you say? One of the greats ever Roscommon produced, one of the greatest forwards that the game ever saw was Tony McManus, you know. And as I said, the three of them, the trinity of Finnerton, McManus and O'Connor were just brilliant in this game. And Tony himself was devastating, as I said, the clever distribution. But only for Paddy O'Donoghue, Aidan, at full back for Kildare, Roscommon's winning margin would have been a lot greater. He had an outstanding game at fullback. Paddy O'Donoghue, he played right, I think, in the late 80s as well, Paddy O'Donoghue, if I'm not mistaken, but he was a top player, and he was playing fullback, and he had a great game for Kildare. He was marking Mick Finnern. Two matches, they kept him to 11 points in 70 minutes. If you look at it, Kildare, Galway scored 113 against Kildare in the All-Ireland final. 113. Yeah. And we kept Roscommon kept them to 11 points.
Kildare had some had some very good backs that day as well in the All-Ireland.
But it's all about the unit, isn't it? And like in 83, there was a good unit, a good forward line, a good defence. Unfortunately, the team still was slipping a bit in, you know, from 1980. It was never back up to that level. And it's just a shame and a pity that we didn't see more of Jigger, John Mick Finnern and Tony Mack playing together, you know, in the 80s, because they were an amazing trio. And you know, like it would have been lovely to see a bit longer, but that's life, you know. They had to immigrate from their own home, and you know, they Roscommon missed them greatly, I think, you know. And I think it would have made a difference as the years went by. And but no, Aidan, it was a great game. You know, Roscommon went up to Kildare. They were the underdogs. Nobody expected them to win the game, and they won by 2-9 to 10 points in a great game of football. And you know, so many good players for Roscommon on the day. You know, Pat Lindsay, the full back line, Pádraig McNeill got a lot of breaking ball in the middle field. Tony Mack, Jigger O'Connor, Mick Finnern, they just tore the Kildare defence apart. And Seamus Hayden and Martin Dolphin were the masters of the hour in the middle of the field. So credit those guys, great players, you know, from our childhood. You know, they give us so many great days out. They were, you know, I used to love watching the old yellow jersey with the pin, blue pinstripes around that time. It was a lovely jersey, you know, and to do up to Kildare and win that game without Dermot Airlie as well, Aidan, is a double achievement nearly, you know, on him, because whoever was marking wasn't able to mark, you know, because he was just running up the field, you know, he was carving open in the defence and then taking his score. And if it's either get somebody with legs to man mark him or double up on him. Similarly with Killian O'Connor, because that's where their sources come from. Paddy Durkin driving from the back, the ball being into Killian O'Connor. And I would say you could nearly double up on Killian O'Connor and double up on Paddy. Like, it's not hard for two half forwards to double up on Paddy Durkin, Aidan, you know, when he's coming up the field. Do you know, one guy with pace, another guy that can tackle. Because Roscommon were, like, in that game before Christmas, like, we talk about double mark and Tony McManus, definitely Mick Finneran as well, Jigger, that day, the Kildare six defenders could have marked the three of those guys, you know, because they were out, they were tearing the whole defence apart. But Roscommon, from a senior team perspective, need to address man marking. Like, for example, they need to stop Paddy Durkin if they're playing Mayo next year and stop Killian O'Connor. There's two men, you know, they need to address that. And also, if they're playing Galway, they need to address Shane Walsh. You know, he's their main man. And, like, I remember speaking to a coach up in Donegal when I started off doing a bit of coaching myself. And his first lesson to me was identify the main attack and a threat and make sure you put your best man marker on him and just go with him everywhere he goes. Just play a man mark. You have to have a man marking. You have to sacrifice the defender. You're not sacrificing the defender. You're curbing and man marking the biggest threat on the opposing team. So you gotta look at that and make sure that you've got the opposition halfbacks or a halfback like Paddy Durkin isn't coming up the field and putting the ball over the bar and leaving everybody in his wake. It's just something I think Roscommon have to look at next year to ensure that these sort of driving runs from defence for opponents, rallying opponents is something that we need to look at as a team in Roscommon, I think, Aidan, you know. But Tony McManus, definitely Mick Finner and Jigger, they would have needed a double watching in their time, Aidan, you know. And but so would Larry Tompkins, and he was an incredible player as his career developed for Cork when he left Kildare. He went to America and then he joined the Cork team. He came back to live in Cork. He played for Castlehaven in Cork. Shefa, he was an army man. He went to Cork as well. And he played midfield in 1990 and 89. He won a man of the match in the 1990 All-Ireland football final. He scored 3 or 4 points in play against Meath in the 1990 final. And, you know, they were two incredible players. Can you imagine how good Kildare would have been if Tompkins and Fahey stayed with them around the time McGuire came in?
You know, there would have been huge potential there for them to win. And I suppose really, looking at it from a tactical point of view, this game in 1983, from both sides, you know, it would have been very interesting tactically, because both managers would have been, you know, very tactically aware of each other's strengths and weaknesses. And I suppose, you know, Kildare had their strengths and so did Roscommon. So it would have been a very tactical battle between both managers as to how to kind of counteract or how to stop the main threats, just like you.
Well, I think getting back in about 83, football was sort of still old-fashioned tactics. You know, Kildare talked about playing the ball in high all the time or a lot of the time. And Pat Lindsay and Harry Keegan were just mopping that up, and Gerry Kinnellan, you know, they were dealing with that in the air. And Roscommon always had with Jigger and Tony and these guys, Mick Finneran, they could play it long or they could play it short. They could run at defences, you know, that ability to carve open defences through slick hand passing, quick movement, ball, getting the ball through the hands and getting the ball to the right man to put it over the bar. And like in Jigger's case, to run 30 yards and smash it into the net, similarly with Aidan Dooley. So Roscommon had that goal scoring, if you like, dimension to their team, whereas Kildare, they were talking about their tactics being long ball. Roscommon were moving it, Roscommon, I think it had the players that were able to play it long or play it short. They played the right ball, Aidan, you know, and in football, there's no such thing as the long ball or the short ball. It's the right ball. It could be a 5-yard hand pass or it could be a 50-yard kick pass. You know, it's all about game and intelligence, you know, and picking out the space and finding the space, finding the player running into space that can gather the ball and lay it off or put it over the bar. And Tony McManus had this great, you know, he's a very intelligent player. He could run into the right spaces. He was always out in front of his marker, and he had good men to deliver the ball into him as well, Aidan, you know, because like in the later days, he had Seamus Killorden, Paul Early, John Newton could win the ball and deliver a good ball into him. And ultimately, forwards are only as good as, full forwards are only as good as the ball is delivered in and the distribution coming in from in, out the field. So, so Roscommon, Aidan, a key feature of the game is the Roscommon combine well. Now, Kildare did not combine at all, unlike Roscommon, who were class. And Roscommon worked diligently for each other. Like, they sacrificed for each other and they played educated, thoughtful football throughout the game. So that's the point I'm making about Tony Mack, Mick Finner, and Jig O'Connor. Educated, thoughtful football is one way it was described. So, and another thing, Roscommon scored all their scores from play, which is incredible. 2-9, which is a great score. And like, we'll just give you the scores. Roscommon scores were... Like Seamus Hayden got a point, Jigger got 1-3, Tony Mack 2 points, Aidan Dooley a goal, Jimmy Kinnellan a point, Mick Finner 2 points, and you know, that was the scoring for Roscommon. It was brilliant, 2-9 from play, and as I said earlier, both teams were level twice in the first 10 minutes. John O'Connor put Roscommon ahead with a point after 9, after a lot of short passes, and then it went to 3-2, and then McFinnern and Johnny Ryan for Kildare exchanged points, and then the score went to 6-4, and then Roscommon got the first goal in the first half. Danny Murray gave it to Jimmy Kinnellan, and Jimmy Kinnellan sent Jigger O'Connor through, and he ran 30 yards and blasted it past Kevin Nolan in the Kildare goal. It was a brilliant pass from Jimmy Kinnellan, and the solo run from O'Connor of 30 yards in the shot gave the goalkeeper no chance. So it was 1-6-4 at half time, and it looked like Kildare were beaten at half time, but then they shifted Tompkins to centre-half forward, and he made an immediate impact and it paid dividends. So in the third quarter, as I said earlier, Kildare had their top period in the game. They scored 4 points in a row to bring the margin back to a point. You know, Tompkins had a free, Shane Fahey got a point from play, Tompkins again, and then Jimmy Ryan scored a point. So they were there 4 points, reduced the deficit to a point. Kildare looked set to control the game, you know, in that third quarter. And then Tompkins had a chance to level the game, but he missed a free. And it stayed 1-6 to Roscommon and 8 points to Kildare. And then Roscommon took control back again. They dominated the game from there on in. Jigger got a point. Then Seamus Hayden and Dolphin were winning every kick out, they said. You know, the report said Roscommon had a patent on the breaking ball. That was a great one, isn't it? They had a patent on the breaking ball. You know, so they're half back line, half forward line. So John O'Connor and Pádraig McNeill were winning an awful lot of breaks. And then in the 47th minute, John O'Connor sent Aidan Dooley through for a goal. That really settled the game. You know, that put Roscommon, you know, 2-7-8 ahead. It rattled the roof of the net, you know. Kevin Nolan again had no chance. And then Tony McManus and Jimmy Kinnellan got 2 further points for Roscommon. And then Kildare got 2 points towards the end of the game. So, like, it was a great performance by Roscommon away from home up in Kildare on 13th of February 1983. And you know, the battle. And it just shows as well, the one beauty of sport is it's rarely that you'll see a team dominate for the full 60 or 70 minutes. Like, Roscommon dominated for 3/4 of that game. And then Kildare had their dominance as well. So, you know, no matter how good or bad a team is, they always get that period of domination. You know, that little bit of, you know, most teams get a period. Maybe it could be even 10, 15 minutes, you know. And, you know, take, for example, the Connacht Championship this year. Leitrim played Mayo in the first round down in Carrick and Shannon. And Leitrim had a great first 10, 15 minutes. Remember, they went 4 points, no score ahead. You know, it was like, it just goes to show that the underdog can score early, you know, and even in football and soccer as well, you see the underdog might get a goal early on, or they might get a goal midway through the second half when they're 3 or 4 down. But every team gets a bit of dominance. Yesterday, we saw Arsenal play Leeds. Arsenal lead 4-0, and then Leeds score 2 goals. So it just shows that in sport, if you keep hanging in there, you'll always get a bit of dominance. Ireland had it in the second half when it looked like France yesterday in the rugby were going to walk away with it. Ireland got that try, you know, the line-out ball bounced up kindly to Ronan Kelleher, and he ran through and scored a great try for Ireland. So it's always something teams need to be aware of, and I'm sure they are. Most teams are aware of the fact that no team, no matter how good they are, dominates all of the game. You know, there's always a patch in the game when a team can come back into it, you know. And this is a perfect example of that, where Roscommon dominated the first half, Kildare dominated the third quarter, and then Roscommon just pulled away in the last quarter, Aidan, to win by 2-9 to 10 points. I'll give you the Roscommon team, Aidan, while we're there. In goals was Seamus or Gay Sheridan, Harry Keegan had Lindsay, and then Liam Tiernan was left half back, left cornerback. He was from Elfin. Danny Murray, Jerry Fitzmaurice, and Jerry Kennellan, half back line. Martin Dolphin and Seamus Hayden midfield. John O'Connor, Tony McManus, Aidan Dooley, half forward line. And then Jimmy Kennellan, Mickey Finnerton, and Porrick McNeil with a full forward line. And then M. McManus Jr. came on for Michael Finnerton with 2 minutes to go. And some of the main performers, Kildare, were Kevin Nolan, the goalkeeper, Paddy O'Donoghue, full-back, John Crofton in the half-back line, Larry Tompkins, Shea Fahey, and David Dalton. And David Dalton was playing corner forward, and he went on to be a great full-back for Aidan, for Kildare Aidan over the years. You know, he was full-back for Mick O'Dwyer for right through the 90s, you could say. Well, for a lot of them, anyway, he was cornerback or full-back. Himself and Shoss Dowling, Brian Lacey, they were there in the full-back line, you know. Great players, you know. So like as I said earlier, that Roscommon had to make changes before the game. You know, Eamon McManus couldn't play because of his shoulder, Eamon Senior. Mick Keegan couldn't play either. Jerry Fitzmaurice came in for him, and Porrick McNeil came in for Paul Early, who had the flu. And there's no mention of Dermot Early. Dermot Early didn't play in that game for some reason, Aidan. You know, he may have been unavailable at the time in that era in 1983, that game particularly, but he did play in 83, so he must have been out with an injury as well or something in 1983 for that game for Roscommon against Kildare in Newbridge. But a great game of football, and you know, it's nice to look back on that team. It's great, some great players there, and it was a great performance by the team, you know. And they put a halt to Kildare's gallop in the league, and they took the 2 points away from Newbridge.
And I suppose really looking at that, the one reason, I suppose, that you could put it down to as well, tactically as well. But, you know, I think with the backs, with the Roscommon backs, no matter whether a high ball or a low ball was coming in, it was coming into the Roscommon backs, they could win it. And the same with the Roscommon forwards, you know, no matter what ball was played into them, they could always win it. And they could, you know, whatever they did, they made it look effortless. That was a great thing, wasn't it?
It's so important forwards to be able to win their own ball, you know, to go out in front of a man, go down on the ball, or go up high and win it in front of the defender. It's a massive thing and a big fill up for a team when you know your forwards are winning their battles. Because if the forwards don't win the battles, the scores aren't coming. And if you've got forwards of the class that Roscommon had, you know, Jigger, Tony and Mickey Finneran, you have a great chance of winning any match at that level, you know. And that they did, you know, they were absolutely brilliant. And yeah, so important that you have forwards can win the ball, you know, win the dirty ball, Aidan, as well. You know, the ball, it's not going to come in perfect all the time, because midfields and half-backs are going to be under pressure when they're delivering the ball, because most teams will be putting the pressure on the midfield or the half-back line. And so the ball mightn't be perfect coming up. And that's where it takes guts to win a ball. And Roscommon had great players with guts and were able to win ball and go on and take scores. And that was the difference between the two teams. Now, alone were they able to win the ball, but they were able to combine together skillfully. You know, they played educated football. It was one of the thoughtful, educated football. And what they're saying there is they played selfless football. You know, they're playing as a team where the ball is being distributed amongst the players and the best man is getting it, and they're working it into good scoring positions and putting the ball over the bar or working it through the hands for a goal opportunity. And ultimately, goals win games, and Roscommon got the 2 goals. What was the difference between the two teams?
That's the key as well. It's like, you know, there are players there that have the ball, and they you know, it's not that they're afraid to take the point. It could be just that they feel that they're not in the best position to take it, so they pass it on. And some people might say that as, oh yeah, they're afraid to take the shot, but that's not necessarily the case. And I suppose the beauty about the Roscommon forwards was sometimes, you know, in a game, well, with any team, but you know, the really class players, the likes of the Eamon McManus and Tony McManus and you know, these kind of players, you know, they could nearly, like, if a bad ball came into them, they could nearly make it look like a great ball. You know, like, they were just the way they can win the ball in a, you know, like a hospital pass. Like, you'd say a bad ball could be played in, and if you were at the game or you were watching it, you might say to yourself, God, he's never going to win that ball. And next thing, whatever way he makes a twist or a turn or something, and he gets the ball, and we say, you know, it just makes it look you know, how did he get that ball? But it just makes it, you know, it's just that class that can turn what looks like a bad ball into a that was a class pass, you know, that kind of thing.
And if you look at it, like, you look at the great forwards over the years, like take Tony McManus, he could win the ball high, he could win the ball. You often saw him coming sort of diving for the ball low and winning and gathering possession, you know, and it takes bravery as well as skill to do that. Peter Canavan was a great man to do that as well. Tony, you know, he could come and win the ball along the ground, if you like, you know, and forwards, you know, it takes guts to go down on a ball and win it like that. And then you see players winning the high ball coming in, you know, the Derek Duggins, Colm O'Rourke was a great man to go and win a high ball or a low ball. And Tony Boyle from Donegal, and you remember Tony Boyle used to be full forward.
Yeah,
he was a great man to win a high ball. Yeah, if a ball came in high to him, he could win it really well as well in the air and turn quickly. You know, he was a great man, high or low ball. And I suppose it's great to have a player like that that can you have forwards that really are low ball winners, if you like, and you have players that are high ball winners. And then there are players who are the hybrids, you know, the Tony Max, the Colm O'Rourkes, the Derek Duggins, the Tony Boyles, they could win a high ball or a low ball. And the more of those players you have, the better. You know, they're, you know, obviously you need your skillful players as well, you know, that mightn't be as tall. But the guy who can win a high ball, a low ball, it's a massive advantage to a forward line, knowing that whatever way you put the ball in, your forward can win it or compete for it, you know. And it's something that, you know, the best teams, Aidan, they can win their own ball. And like Dublin now, they win the ball. Great Galway team in the 90s, they could win, you know, the ball goes in, they could mean to win their own ball. And probably, as I said, we talked about Galway and Roscommon in the 90s. Roscommon was the one team that stopped that Galway team in the 90s, in 98. Roscommon were probably the best defensive unit that played against Galway in 98. So it's so important for forwards to be able to win their own possession and take their own scores and lay it off and ultimately work as a unit, Aidan, you know, to move the ball into the best position for the kicker to take the score.
And I suppose the best example of what you're just after saying there with that Galway team, more so in 98, and I know it's something that we mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we were on about the Galway versus Roscommon. We referred to the 1998 game, the 1998 Connacht Championship game between the two sides that went to a replay. And when you look at that team, when you look at the sort of players that they had up in forwards, I mean, Michael Donlan, Porrick Joyce, you know, two of the most lethal players, you know, from 98, but more so, they were the guys that did a lot of damage.
You know, Derek Savage.
Derek Savage as well, you know.
Yeah.
Jaff Allen. You know, to keep for Roscommon to be... Roscommon, when you consider that Roscommon were the only ones that were kind of, now I know Roscommon lost in the replay, but that was kind of bad luck. But they were the only one that Roscommon were the only team that defence was the only defence really that could handle them effectively, and that's saying something.
In two matches, they kept them to 11 points in 70 minutes. If you look at it, Kildare, Galway scored 113 against Kildare in the All Ireland final, 113. Yeah. And we kept Roscommon kept them to 11 points.
Kildare had some great, had some very good backs that day as well. In the
But it's all about the unit, isn't it? And like in 83, there was a good unit, a good forward line, a good defence. Unfortunately, the team still was slipping a bit in. You know, from 1980, it was never back up to that level. And it's just a shame and a pity that we didn't see more of Jigger, John McFinnern, and Tony Mack playing together. You know, in the 80s, because they were an amazing trio, and you know, like it would have been lovely to see it longer. But that's life, you know. They had to immigrate from their own home, and you know, they Roscommon missed them greatly, I think, you know, and I think they would have made a difference as the years went by. And but no, Aidan, it was a great game. You know, Roscommon went up to Kildare. They were the underdogs. Nobody expected them to win the game, and they won by 29 to 10 points in a great game of football. And you know, so many good players for Roscommon on the day. You know, Pat Lindsay, the full back line, Pádraig McNeill got a lot of breaking ball in the middle field. Tony Mack, Jigger O'Connor, Mick Finnern, they just tore the Kildare defence apart. And Seamus Hayden and Martin Dolphin were the masters of the hour in the middle of the field. So credit those guys, great players, you know, from our childhood. You know, they give us so many great days out. They were, I used to love watching the old yellow jersey with the blue pinstripes around that time. It was a lovely jersey, you know, and to do up to Kildare and win that game without Dermot Earley as well, Aidan, is a double achievement nearly, you know.
Say it. And I mean, especially when you consider the sort of threat that Larry Tompkins had. And I mean, we've all seen his achievements at, you know, that he went on to it, the things he went on to achieve with Cork, and, you know, he won All-Stars and everything. And that just got to keep him, to try and keep him quiet, you know, is no mean feat either on the day. And I think really, you know, if you can keep the likes of him quiet, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier on, but it was about Tony McManus. It was like kind of, if you can keep him quiet as well, which, look, it's hard enough done, but, you know, he given the talent that the guy had, you know, that was a tremendous achievement by that Roscommon team.
It's very important for managers now in any era to look at your own strengths and weaknesses, and also look at the strengths and weaknesses of the opposition, and try to tailor your, if you like, resources accordingly. If you've got strong players and that are able to exploit possession, play to your strengths. And if you can identify any weaknesses in the opponent, well, then play into that area as well. So that's the challenge of management, isn't it? To get their team physically fit, get them tactically aware of each other, working as a unit, combining well, and then before the game, doing your homework on the opponent and putting out your troops to deal with what's ahead of you in the best way possible that can advance your cause and to win the game.
Another thing to remember is this was many years before you know, video analysis and all the posh things that county teams have at their disposal nowadays. But yes, despite all that, they still were able to do their homework on each other. And there were still, you know, some cracking games. I mean, we remember the Dublin teams of the 70s and 80s and things like that. You know, all the great Kerry teams. And even without all the modern things like video analysis and, you know, without backroom staff that was about, you know, 10 or 11 or 20 people in the back as backroom staff, you know, there was still world class, really class games and brilliant games, and not only brilliant games but memorable games as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And like in those days, teams would have to send scouts out to look at opponents as well, you know, to go to matches when their own team is playing. So yeah, homework has always been done. It's always been a key area of at least of Gaelic football and most all sports, really, to identify strengths in the opponent or weaknesses in the opponent that can be exploited to your advantage on the day. And like that day in 1983, Roscommon had, no matter what homework, as well as Aidan, no matter what homework you do, you know, the best laid plans, if you have your homework done, if you have quality opponents that can just exploit you, that can happen. Sometimes a team is better than you and sometimes you're just better than another team. So you know, you see a lot of games where mistakes are made by individual errors, and no matter what tactics or what homework you've done, things happen in games, and the challenge then is for teams to react to adversity. Because, like, if you look at any sport, a man can be sent off. You could give away a bad goal in football, in soccer. You could give away an own goal. You know, things might go your way, and then there's a challenge for the team to be mentally strong and show character and resolve and come back from that. So, I think sport. I think in, you know, nowadays every game is recorded. Everything is under the microscope. Video analysis till the cows come home. But ultimately, you need players stepping on up on the day to do their jobs, you know, to patrol a particular individual, to man mark an individual, or to, you know, play to the tactics that's been invoked by the team. And that's all down to the individual performances on the day, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work, you know. But that's the beauty of sport, and that's why spectators love going to see these matches, because you don't know what you're going to get. Every game is a new story. It is this new drama. There could be a wind, it could be rain, there could be sleet, snow, all of these different variables that come into the equation on the day of the game that might not be looked at in the pre-match analysis. So sport is about the unpredictable, and that's what fans love live sport. They love the idea of not knowing what's going to happen. And one thing we've seen last year with Cavan beating Donegal, Tipperary beating Cork, that underdogs always have a chance, no matter what analysis, what predictions, no matter what tactics or who's the personnel on either team, the underdog has a chance if they're well prepared and they believe in themselves and they get the breaks, and that's the beauty of sport and the beauty of watching it.
I suppose really another thing, you know, both in Championship or League, and I think it's a kind of a key part, no matter, as people might disagree with me on that, but it's a key thing is half time and how it's used. Because sometimes, even though it's a time, you know, obviously it's a break for the players and all that, but also it's also a chance for the managers to get inside the players' heads, and you know, especially if they're behind, what to say, how to say it, without kind of bullying them, but just kind of, you know, it can be the turning point in a lot of games at half-time, depending on what's said at half-time.
It's a very important time in the dynamic of the game, because if your team is doing well, you're telling your players to keep going the way they're going, keep playing the way they're playing, don't be getting complacent. If they're well ahead, treat the game like a nil-nil draw, and to keep working hard and keep fighting and keep believing. And then if you're behind, you have to look at, why are we behind? Do we need to make personnel changes? Do we need to switch players from one corner to another? But tell the players to keep believing that they're going to get their chances, that the dominance, you know, that, like, for example, in that game we'd covered tonight, like the Kildare team were totally outplayed in the first half, but yet in the first quarter of the second half, they dominated. So, like, their team talk at halftime would have been, look, at we haven't been at our best. We have the talent, let's go out and show them. And Kildare did. So there's always a chance to regroup and reset at halftime and go out then for the second half, with knowing that you have the ability, knowing that you're more in your armoury and that you haven't really played yet. And that, sometimes players need to be reminded of that. And sometimes managers get it very right at halftime. You know, they inspire their players to go out and improve immensely in the second half. So the halftime, as you said, Aidan, it's a vital period of the game, both for the team that's in the lead and the team that's losing. And there's different team talks. One is keep going, the other one is to get your act together. You know, sometimes a team needs a collective kick in the backside to kick start them, and you see them in the second half coming out a totally different proposition altogether, getting back into the game. So yeah, it's an incredibly important time, half time. But the one thing for a team that's losing or not playing to their level is just to keep a calm head, not to, if you like, lose the plot or, you know, start arguing. It's very important the team remains united at halftime and you know, keeps going, keeps playing the way they know they can play, and just redouble their efforts and hopefully they can get a reaction in the second half, Aidan, you know. So, but no, it was great to look back at that game, Aidan, in 1983, you know, Kildare and Roscommon and in Newbridge, and Roscommon went to Newbridge underdogs, Kildare having won the four games in a row, and inspired by Tony McManus, Michael Finner, and John O'Connor. Great performances from Pádraig McNeill, Pat Lindsay as well, Danny Murray, Aidan Dooley. Roscommon came away with a great victory.
Yeah, so it was a great win, for one of many great wins, because that was a great Roscommon side, and you'd like to think that maybe, you know, in the years to come, and there has been some great sides, Roscommon sides since then, but they were just kind of unlucky maybe. Well, listen, thanks very much for that, and we look forward to discussing another Roscommon match. Thanks very much for that, Ray, and we look forward to covering another game next week.
No bother, Aidan.